Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with my friend and colleague, Alfonso Rachel, and this is The Virtue Signal, where we try to talk a little bit about some of the morality and philosophy beneath the politics. And Zoe, as we record this, we've just heard that Liz Cheney is going to be taking her, quote, true conservative message out there into the world and show the rest of us hayseeds and knuckle draggers what real conservatism really is. And I have some differing opinions about this than Liz Cheney does. So I thought for today, maybe we could just talk about the question, what is conservatism, do you think? And why should we try to get those wacky, nutty kids to try and sign up for it?
Well, I guess more specifically, American conservatism, because we got people who will try to dig up things like conservatism concerning, they'll say that the Nazis were conservative, Islam is conservative, these very fundamental regime authoritative facets or
But we're talking about American conservatives, what you are and what I am. What is it that we believe and why?
Well, I think, the thing is, the reason why I bring that up, Bill, is because before we can even penetrate this to people, there has to be some prejudices that have to be gotten over because people have a lot of prejudice about what conservatism is. And you can go ahead and reason it out. But unless these, let me say this really quick. You know how a lot of people say that, hey, well, people in the non-white communities, like in the Black community or in the Latino community, they're actually more conservative than not. But the problem is that they don't want to associate with conservatism because of the prejudices that they've been inundated with. So that's one of the reasons.
It's a tarnished brand.
Exactly. So off the bat, I would recommend, hey, we have to be able to take that stigma off of what conservatism is. Now, if we're talking about American conservatism, which is actually very cool in itself, it's conservation of our God-given rights, the preservation of our God-given rights, not taking liberties with what the Constitution says, not taking liberties with what the Constitution was founded on in recognizing the God-given rights of man. You don't take liberties with it. You don't interpret it liberally. You stick to what it says. And when you stick to what it says, you acknowledge that there is a balance of freedom. You cannot encroach on somebody else's freedom saying that, I have the right to do this, right to do that. It's a two-way street. So, when somebody says, well, I have the right to be happy. So, of course, you have the right to be happy and you have the right to pursue your happiness. You don't have the right to pursue my happiness. You don't have the right to encroach upon my freedoms. Freedom isn't free. You don't get fairness by being unfair to other people. You do not have the right to make somebody forfeit their freedoms and stuff like that to accommodate you. So these are the things of conservatism. And like I said, Bill, before we can even get to that, you have to have the right filter to examine it with. Because we'll just argue about this all day. Well, there's my conservatism and there's your conservatism. There's my foundation, my fundamentals of what I think this is. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm not trying to be complicated here, but it's a complicated issue because we have to even agree on how we're going to perceive conservatism.
Fair enough. But we can, I think, talk about like the common denominators, right? The kind of things that just about everybody who calls themselves conservative believe in. It's getting to be a pretty old saw now, but modern conservatism is essentially classical liberalism, and the principles and the ideas and the philosophy and the law that was created when the United States was formed and enshrined in the Constitution. These were radically liberal ideas at the time: private property, freedom of speech, the fact that we don't have to kowtow to kings and emperors and all the rest. It's radically liberal stuff, and so. What we are trying to, I'm speaking for myself now, but what conservatism is to me fundamentally is conserving, holding on to this radical idea of freedom that is under attack in kind of a post-liberal age, this postmodern age. I have a theory that I call King of the Hill, and this is where I like to be. And sometimes this helps when I explain this to kids. When you have things like Jim Crow laws that were instituted by Democrats, you have institutionalized racism or whatever other social ill you want to put in there, you're dumping mercury into rivers, let's say. When that situation is there, all people of goodwill, in my opinion, are liberals. They're progressives. They want this. I want maximum human happiness. That's my goal in life. And so when you're at that point, I think anybody with a conscience is in favor of activism in order to reduce, mercury in the rivers and to reduce genuine racism and all the rest. So far, so good. The EPA pulls all these toxic chemicals out of the Great Lakes, and now there are fish there. They used to be completely dead. Whoopee. But unfortunately, it's the nature of bureaucracies and human nature and all the rest, so that when you get to this point of maximum human happiness, the activism still continues. So now we start getting more and more lathered up about smaller and smaller and smaller things, and human happiness goes down. And so I always like to say, I'm kind of a king of the hill kind of guy. I want maximum human happiness. If increasing activism is increasing justice and making people happier, I'm in. You can call me a liberal if you want to. But once we get to the point where increasing activism is actually reducing freedom and reducing happiness and reducing all of these hard-earned gains, then I want to go back to the top of the hill. I want to, if I have to back up a little bit, that's what I want to do. I want to be at that point where we have maximum human happiness. Generally speaking, that means maximum freedom and maximum prosperity for everybody.
I could dig it, man. Now, this is where I'm the black. I tend to be the black sheep of conservatism, because I myself, I don't believe in classical liberalism. Now, even with classical liberalism, in order for it to work, you still got to be conservative about it. Because the thing about classical liberalism is, because who actually gets to define it? Because classical liberalism and what's liberty and what's liberal to me may not square with what somebody else. And see, it's one of those things where it's a microscopic dock on top of a microscopic dock, or a mirror just constantly holding itself in front of itself, and you never really see the end of it. Who can actually?
So we're going to come back to natural law here, aren't we?
It's, you know, I'm going to go even better. I'm going to go right back. You know me, Bill. I'm going to go right back
I
to
do.
The, I'm going to go right back to the Garden of Eden. Because here is the truth. I'm going to give people, if I may, a picture of what classical liberalism really is and where it began. It began with the devil himself. Okay, here's God, man. This is God. This is my policy, right? Now, when people, it drives me nuts when people in the church are like, God is above politics and he's on the throne and he's still in control. It's like, okay, yeah, that's cute and everything. God is on the throne, but he gives instructions. And we're to carry these instructions out. But here's the instruction. Here's the policy, Bill. Here's the policy. Hey, check it out, man. You guys get all this. I'm gonna give you my grace right up front. You guys are totally liberated. You will never be more free ever than what you have right now. You are free from disease. You will be gainfully employed. You are free from unemployment. You will never die, right? Pretty
no
sweet.
No wars and no sickness.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets.
Pretty
yeah.
sweet policy, right? Pretty sweet deal. Now, here's the deal. Don't eat from this tree, right? Now, here's where the politics come in. Here comes the devil, right? I've got another policy for you. I'm going to challenge this policy, and I'm going to tell you this X, Y, and Z. Now, they have a choice. Which leadership are they going to follow? The classical liberal tells them, no, man, this isn't freedom. This is, right? Now we're going to be at an impasse of what liberty and what freedom actually is, because according to the devil, they weren't really free, right? So the thing is, when we have this idea of classical liberalism, who does it actually satisfy? However, if they were conservative and they were actually radical, because what radical does is radical has to have a root. It has to have a core. It has to have something solid, because that's what the word radical means, right? It means a root. So they had a root that they were supposed to be able to stick to. The radical action is to be able to stand up against the rebels who come in and try to uproot you from the root, right? So the devil, being a rebel himself, is trying to introduce this classical liberalism that actually got them away from the liberty that they already had. So that's why I struggle with classical liberalism, is because who can actually really define it? And when people do, and they get it at this impasse, that's when we start losing our liberty.
Yeah, that's a really great point. When you talk about this kind of garden pre-fall kind of an existence, here's everything except for this one thing. First of all, that really is pretty much right on the flaw in the human heart, right? Mm. You can have pretty much everything, but if somebody tells you there's one thing that you cannot have, that's the thing you got to have. Mm. And we've mentioned this before, but you know, in these biblical stories where you have the Israelites wandering through the desert and food is falling from the sky and there's a pillar of fire by night and so on, and the first thing they want to do is they want to make a golden calf. You know, that's kind of the human fault in a nutshell. Mm. But this idea about natural law is really important to understanding conservatism, because these ideas that we talk about that we want to hold on to, these kind of classical American ideas, are predicated on a much bigger idea, all of the political laws that's written into the Constitution are actually simply sitting on top of a foundation of something much more important that doesn't get talked about nearly enough. And that's this idea of natural law. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on how you want to define it, the outcome of it is pretty much the same. You can say this is either the law that God ordains, or you can say that this is a common heritage shared among all mankind, whatever you want to say. But natural law basically says that there are certain actions that across all cultures and across all times we know to be wrong. Murder is a great example, rape, theft, all of these things, libel, bearing false witness, all of this. And the idea of conservatism is that there are these timeless truths that not only don't change, but they shouldn't change. The reason they don't change mm-hmm. and the reason we want to hang on to them is because they are as good as it gets. Yes. And when you read the Constitution, you realize that what the Constitution as a legal document, because it's a legal document, what that document is saying is it's not saying we're going to give you the right to do this. It's saying we will not allow the government to prevent you from exercising these natural law rights that you're born with. And this is a fundamental issue that just should just be hammered again and again and again and again and again. The government cannot legally take away your rights because the government didn't grant them. The Constitution doesn't grant them. The Constitution protects them. And I think if people understood that the fundamental core belief of conservatism was essentially this, you know, you really could boil conservatism or natural law down to pretty much three laws, you know. It's really pretty simple, right? Don't hurt anybody. Don't take their stuff. And do what you say you're going to do. Don't hurt anybody is the essence of criminal law, violence, rape, murder, assault, all of that. Don't hurt anybody. Don't take their stuff. Private property exists. That's theirs. That's not yours. And do what you say you're going to do, or at least do what you promise you're going to do. This is the basis of contract law. You can't have any kind of a civilization if you can't hold people accountable to the promises they make in writing. Three laws. And all of it really boils down to is just don't be a jerk. And all of these things have provided so much happiness and so much prosperity. And when you hear people like Liz Cheney saying, we're going to take this message of true conservatism out there, to me, although certainly I'm not exactly known for my concise ability to sum things up sometimes, but really, honestly, this discussion about what conservatism is, this should be a two-minute conversation. We believe that these are timeless truths, and they're timeless truths because they're good for people. We believe that you shouldn't hurt anybody, you shouldn't take their stuff, you should do what you promised to do, and otherwise have a swell time. It's that simple.
It should be that simple. It should be, man. And basically, we're talking about the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But even that, you know, and when the Lord tells us to do that, you still have something have something to base that on, because what one person may think is lovely for themselves may not be lovely for somebody else, you know. But the Lord gives the context surrounding that before we can go out there loving on other people, which may be the, hey man, that ain't the kind of love I dig, so don't be loving That's me right. like yourself. So now Liz, getting back to Liz. You know, so what is she trying to make a movement of like Lizzian conservatism?
This is just a news story it's just hot in the news relatively at the moment, but it's an ongoing phenomenon. It's the rhino phenomenon, right?
Sure.
It's people who claim that they're conservatives and basically say, no, as a conservative, I believe that we should have a slightly smaller big government than we have, and slightly lower high taxes, and just a tiny little bit more freedom around the edges than what the competition is. And when I hear Liz Cheney and rhinos like people like Mitt Romney and so on, when I hear them saying that they're champions of conservatism, I really want to ask them, what does it mean to you? You know, what does it mean?
I'm sorry, man. I like the way you said slightly lower high taxes. It's almost like saying we always gonna have high taxes, man, but just today I always have to be so damn.
Well,
high.
Yeah, I mean that's really it. It's like Democrat light. It's like New Coke. It's like, no, there is an alternative to all of this stuff that has continued to erode our freedoms away, and it's called conservatism, and it's very, very simple.
Yes, and it should be simple, you know. And like I said, if she's trying to start a movement of a, and I, it, you know, I don't really care, not to be contentious,
no, but I don't really.
I don't care like who wants to try to brand it, you know, this Lizzian conservatism. That's what she's trying to, Cheney conservatism, Trump conservatism. I'm a Reagan conservative. I'm a Lincoln conservative, whichever. You know, that's why it's, look, man, I'm a Christian conservative. Why not? If we're gonna base our conservatism on something, for speaking for myself, why not base it on a person that I can't find a flaw with? Right, we can find a flaw in any of these people. So why not base it on somebody who actually says, yeah, man, I say, do unto others as you would have done unto you, but you gotta have a healthy perspective on that. You know, a lot of people like to bring up, you know, when they selectively believe in Christianity, they'll say, well, doesn't the Lord say to love your neighbor as you do yourself? And Jesus, like, yeah, but you left out the part where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. What does that mean? Because when we try to love each other, but a lot of times our idea of love gets in the way. It actually hurts people, right? Our ideas of love, you know, as a person can commit rape and think that this is love. Well, don't you know that I love you? And I'll say, okay.
Yeah.
Right?
No, absolutely.
So the Lord's like, look, man, love me. I'm the author of it. These natural laws that you have, every law has to have an author. I'm the guy who authored that. Even our founding documents recognizes the God of nature, because nature is a law and it has a writer. So, you know, in that, if we understand that and we actually love God, then God's the one who, and he's not some megalomaniac. You have to love me and I demand your love. It's like, no, it's for your sake. So you guys can actually know how to apply love. And that's where it really gets down to the nitty gritty, Bill, because we can have these laws all day. That's why the Lord is like, look, man, the real deal of the law is love. Do you really think that you're going to have a society that's going to sustain because people don't do things out of fear of the penalty of the law? People will look for loopholes in that, right? They're going to look for a way to try to skirt the law. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't try to say, hey, how am I going to get beyond this law? How am I going to,
that's right.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
Exactly right. It's a difference
that's what
between
it takes.
Virtue and virtue signaling. Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Real love. Now that's why I say, because even with the virtue signalers, Bill, they think love wins. They think they're woke. They're thinking they're just doing all this whole thing out of love. And it is miserable hate. It's exactly what it is. It's like the word says, woe to those who call good evil, bitter, sweet, light, dark. And these people are confusing love for hatred. You have to have something fixed and eternal to base that on. And we don't have that. So, excuse me, in trying to hold up the law, the way to really do it is out of love, respect, courtesy. That's how it's done, you know? But other than that, we're going to look for loopholes to try to skirt good law. Good law.
Love, respect, and courtesy. Good law.
Yes.
And I'll just close with this. This is I'm taking this to a kind of a hyperbolic extreme, but I mean this really completely without reservation. In a republic where all of the protections for you, your property, and all the rest of it are enshrined and in cement, and if it's carved in stone that my rights are there and they're inviolate, then democracy can only reduce that. If you had this republic that protected your rights, was there to administer justice, not to play in the game, but just to be the referee of the game, and government was as small as it should be, it's not involved with every aspect of your life, then frankly, it doesn't matter who's president, doesn't matter who senators are or anything else like that. If the belief in the idea of the republic is ironclad, then these people are no longer trying to build the machine or change the machine or steer the machine. They're simply just oiling the machine. It's all they do. And that's kind of an interesting way to think about it. A republic that protects you and your rights and your freedom of action to do whatever you want to, so long as you do not hurt somebody else. You can swing your fist as much as you want to until you come into contact with somebody else's nose, and then it becomes our problem, not just your behavior. These things are fundamental, easy, simple, and they're fun. They're fun. They let you do what you want to do. They're really just a really cool way to go through life. And I just don't get the feeling that Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney exactly have this quite tacked down yet. That'll do it for this edition of the Virtue Signal. It's made possible by our members at BillWhittle.com. On behalf of those members, because a small number of people who pay for these content make it available to everybody else to see for free. I'm Bill Whittle, and with my friend Alfonso Rachel, we'll see you next time here on the Virtue Signal.